Okay, we're going to keep on with the program. Jim Mars. Jim Mars is one of the foremost authors and speakers on the 9/11 truth movement and has a huge following going back to his reporting on the JFK assassination. Some of you have seen Crossfire. His book, Ruled by Secrecy, covered by the New York Times. He wrote Inside Job, Unmasking the 9/11 Conspiracies, one of the widely recognized and distributed books in the movement, and has now greatly expanded his work with the release of The Terror Conspiracy. Additionally, Jim has made a great contribution to the movement in his presentations at major 9/11 truth conferences since 2004 and spoke at the big 9/11 conference in Chicago this past June. We're talking about a big conference right here, right now, and we're going to bring this crime to a halt, right? Okay. Without further ado, Jim Mars.
Howdy.
Howdy.
What was that?
Howdy.
All right. I bring that Texas greeting because this is great to be in New York City. This is what it's all about. This issue, this 9/11 issue, and I'm adamant about this because I'm not an activist, or at least I don't consider myself an activist. I'm a journalist. I'm trained as a journalist, and I committed myself to journalism many years ago. And so don't expect me to carry the banner and charge the barricades. That's going to be up to you. But you have to be armed with truthful information. And this is what I'm bringing to you. Barry taught me a very valuable lesson. I'm not going to wait till my time runs out before I shamelessly advertise my new book, The Terror Conspiracy. Now, why should you read this above any of the other really good works that have been put out there? Two reasons. Number one, believe it or not, I was there first. I wrote the day after 9/11, I said, we must not be snookered like we have in the past. We must follow President Bush's admonition that we not rest until we find out who's truly behind 9/11. As the weeks rolled on, I gathered more and more information. It became abundantly clear that there was plenty of advance warnings. As the 9/11 Commission 3 years later finally was forced to admit, the warning system was blinking red. All right, so why was nothing done? And I had all of this in book form. It should have come out in 2002 from a major publisher here in New York. I had a contract. They shut it down the very day after the legal vetting, which I passed. And the only reason I was ever given was that they didn't want to upset the families of 9/11 victims. Those very families who have led the attack, pushed the agenda. If it hadn't been for the 9/11 victims' families, there would never have been a 9/11 commission. The day after Pearl Harbor, Congress convened a commission to find out what had happened. Less than a week after the Kennedy assassination, Johnson formed that infamous Warren Commission. Almost 2 years after 9/11, the Bush administration and Bush himself were dragging their feet, throwing obstacles in the way of any truthful investigation. That should be a tip-off to anyone, okay? And now look at how they treat us. They treat us like absolute idiots. Everything that they have, the official conspiracy theory, okay, which is backed by little or nothing, is all falls back on one of the oldest tricks in the book, appeal to authority. When the Popular Mechanics article came out months ago debunking the 9/11 conspiracy myth, okay, it was not that well received. So what did they do? They came around here lately in the latest issue, reviving their arguments, but now whose name is on it? Senator John McCain. And he says, oh, well, I can rebut these 9/11 arguments. And I was interested. I mean, I'm after truth. If they can prove to me something happened, then I want to know it. If they can prove to me that buildings can get hit by airplanes and then just crumble to pulverized dust and drop into their own footprint, even after the South Tower had tilted at the top by about 45 degrees and then just dropped straight down, if they can really convince me that that can happen, okay. So I read his article with great diligence. He never answered anything. All he did was name call. All he did was badmouth people like you and I and people who were trying to find the truth of 9/11. Appeal to authority. The latest issue of Time magazine, big article, why the 9/11 conspiracies won't go away. Well, I can tell them why it won't go away, because they're truth. They're truth. All right. But this is the arrogance of these people and how stupid they think we are. Right here on the page it says, talking about the Pentagon, experts will tell you the hole was punched by the plane's fuselage, not its wings, which sheared off on impact. And then they thoughtfully show us three pictures, and enlarging on up, of the hole in the Pentagon. Where's the wings? They're not there. It's incredible. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. The one thing that the Bush administration and I agree on, and if there was any one good thing to come out of 9/11, it's that the word conspiracy has now been rehabilitated, okay? Now you can talk about conspiracy because the Bush administration and I and you, we all agree there was a big conspiracy on 9/11. The question is, whose conspiracy was it, right? Now, I've been accused of just dealing with conspiracy theories, and I've gotten immune to that, but I still bridle at that because I don't deal with theories. I don't wake up one morning and go, I've got a theory. Let me see if I can go about proving that. No, that's the way the government works. In 1964, they had a theory. Lee Harvey Oswald did it all by himself with three shots through a tree with a bolt-action rifle in 6 seconds, you know? Yeah, now let's see if we can prove that. And by the way, for any of you who have not followed that case, the two key prosecution damning facts and evidence against Oswald have now totally fallen away. The first was they said his fingerprints were on the gun. That made headlines all over the country. Everybody went, well, there you go. He did it. No. The rifle was sent to the FBI on Saturday following the investigation. That afternoon, there was a document issue signed by J. Edgar Hoover himself that said no usable prints were found on the rifle or even the inner parts of the rifle. On Sunday, there are documents showing the rifle was shipped back to Dallas. On Monday morning, an FBI team carried the rifle in a crime lab kit to the Miller Funeral Home, and the director there, Paul Grudy, told me years ago and on several different occasions that he was present when they put his dead hand on the gun. And only that evening did Henry Wade, the district attorney of Dallas, suddenly blurt out to the media, have I mentioned we found his fingerprints on the rifle? All right, and Paul Grudy said that he had to really rush and he had a terrible time getting the fingerprint ink off of Oswald's dead hand in time for the burial. All right, so much for fingerprints. And the other was neutron activation analysis, which J. Edgar Hoover told the Warren Commission that fragments of bullets found in Kennedy's body, Connally's body, and in the limousine were similar, and therefore it came from the same ammunition. Okay, and therefore it all came from Oswald's rifle. Well, the problem is, of course, is it's similar, and neutron activation analysis is kind of like saying, well, the woman was just a little bit pregnant. Okay. It's either identical or it's not. And just a couple of weeks ago, scientists from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory went back, reviewed the neutron activation analysis, and threw it out, said they misinterpreted it. They were not similar, which means it's different ammunition. Okay. Would the government lie to you? Ask Dave. You people of all people, now from now on, I'm going to start telling you how to deal with your friends and your neighbors when they say, oh, get off that 9/11 thing, or what are you talking about, okay? You people of all people should be concerned about these lies and this deceit. It was not Texans, it was not Californians who were told by the EPA, why, the air is perfectly okay. Go back to your homes. Everything's okay. It was a lie, wasn't it? It was a lie.
They're all lies.
Now, would the government allow deadly attacks on other Americans? Unfortunately, yes. Key point, which you can read all the proof in my new book, is after 9/11, the media pundits all were comparing it to Pearl Harbor. And actually, that's a quite apropos comparison. But not for the reason they think. Everybody thought, oh, yeah, it was another dastardly sneak attack. No. What we now know and is beyond dispute is that the attack on Pearl Harbor was known in Washington by Franklin Roosevelt, his chief of staff, George Marshall, handful of others. They allowed it to take place to further their political agenda, which was to get an aroused and unified America into World War II. Now, I'm not going to argue the merits of that. We could spend all afternoon. It could be, and there could be good arguments that they needed to do that. The point is, they did lie. They did allow a deadly attack on Americans, 3,000 American lives lost, to further their political agenda. Now, most of you know about the Northwoods documents. This was 1962. It was signed off on by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They were going to blow up bombs in American cities, target people for assassination, sink ships, hijack aircraft, and blame it on Castro to gather more support for another invasion of Cuba. Would they allow attacks on other Americans? Yes. Would they lie to us? Gulf of Tonkin? Yes. Light at the end of the tunnel? Yes. I'm not a crook? Yes. Now here's what really gets me. In the late 60s, early 70s, I even wrote a piece that appeared on the front page of a major newspaper. It said the Kennedy assassination was a coup d'etat and covered up at the highest levels of the federal government. I've since, over the years, everything's come out. I've only been proven to be correct. In 1973, I said, Richard Nixon's a crook. He will not serve out his term. I was correct. I told people the Gulf of Tonkin incident did not happen. I was correct. I've been trying to tell people that there were Iraqis involved in the Murrah Federal Building bombing in Oklahoma City. I am correct. Y'all don't know that yet because it hasn't been stated, but I'm correct. My track record is pretty good. Can you say that for the federal government? In fact, I'll put it this way. If the federal government of the United States was an individual, none of us would have anything to do with him. Here are some of the questions that I address in my new book, The Terror Conspiracy, which, by the way, doesn't strictly deal with 9/11, but puts it into a broader context. When you deal narrowly with 9/11, you can get lost in the forest, staring at the trees, wondering about the melting temperature of steel, the size of the hole at the Pentagon, whether the numbers match, what actually happened to Flight 93 in Pennsylvania. And all of that's important, but you can get lost in that. What you have to do is put it into a context, and the big picture starts coming into focus. Did war game exercises confound our normal defense system? The answer is undoubtedly yes, because we didn't know about this for more than a year. For almost a year, it was all over the internet, and yet they were going, oh, no, that's just an internet rumor, yada, 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 okay? Until Richard Clark, the counterterrorism chief, wrote his book and within 4 or 5 pages said, when he contacted General Myers of NORAD and said, have you got any interceptors in the air? General Myers replied, well, we're in the middle of a war game exercise. Vigilant Guardian. Whoops. Then we learn from the tapes that when the FAA contacts NORAD and says, we've got 4 hijacked aircraft, their first response was, is this real world or the exercise? Most of the interceptors were up in Canada. Everybody was out of position. They had false images called inputs on the FAA radar screens indicating false images of airplanes, some of them even indicating hijacked planes. It totally confused our $400 billion defense system. Did the hijackers know? Yes, they did, because it's been reliably reported. It was even reported in U.S. News and World Report that the day before, Mohammed Atta had sent an electronic message that was intercepted by the NSA, and he said, the match is about to begin. Tomorrow is 0 hour. He didn't say the jihad. He didn't say the attack. He didn't say the operation. He said the match. The games begin tomorrow. That's when we attack. How could they have known this? We didn't know this. We didn't even know about these games for a year, and the 9/11 Commission report only mentioned them in a footnote. How did they know when to launch their attack in coordination with these war game exercises? They could have only known through inside information. That, to me, is a smoking gun to prove that 9/11 was an inside job. Another thing is, we all know that they sent messages in that day's security code saying Air Force One will be next. All right? How did they get those codes? Inside information. And then you have to wonder, since they had said that Air Force One's going to be attacked, which would indicate a direct threat to the president, why'd he sit in a classroom for almost 20 minutes reading about a pet goat? And, of course, he said, well, I didn't want to upset the children. Well, excuse me, how much effort would it have taken to simply stand up and say, hey, kids, I'm sorry, but I have to go take care of some presidential business and walk out. And by the way, when he left, he stopped and spoke to newsmen. He got in his car, drove the same motorcade route that had already been pre-announced back to Air Force One, which took off without any escort. It seems to me that nobody around, including the president, they knew he was not in danger. What about all the New York firemen talking about bombs in the building? Who permitted the evacuation by air of the bin Laden family and of Saudi royals at a time when you and I couldn't fly? This was during the no-fly zone. This was thoroughly documented. What really happened at the Pentagon? Why did World Trade Center 7 collapse? Who was behind that suspicious stock sell, okay, that showed foreknowledge? They said, well, we're going to track that, see if it doesn't track to Osama bin Laden, but it didn't, and you never heard any more about it. Why? Because it tracked back to people connected to our CIA. Was the Afghanistan attack planned well ahead of time? Yes. Were there warnings from other nations? Yes. The biggest lie of all was, who would have guessed they would have used airplanes to fly into buildings? Okay? The Pentagon had run scenarios based on that very thing. The very morning of 9/11, the National Reconnaissance Office was having a drill that simulated a plane flying into their building. And in 1995, an Al-Qaeda cell was busted in the Philippines, and they recovered the plans of Operation Bojinka, which specifically called to hijack airplanes and crash them into prominent structures, specifically naming the World Trade Center. Why was Halliburton allowed to deal illegally with Iraq during the Clinton administration? Did the CIA create Al-Qaeda? Yes. It goes on and on. You have to put this into the broadest possible context, and you have to understand that 9/11 was what in the jargon is called a false flag operation. We have something within our government called the P2OG. That's the proactive, preemptive operation group. And what is their job? Their job is to pretend to be terrorists and commit terrorist acts to draw other terrorists out of the woodwork. Now, how easy is it to foment a fake terrorist attack? There are accounts coming out of Iraq about one example. Taxi cab driver in Iraq gets pulled over at an American checkpoint. He's told to go, and they take him to a military base where he's held for an hour or more and then released and said, okay, you're free to go. And he says, well, I need my driver's license back. And they said, oh, well, you have to drive over to the police station over there where you can pick it up. On the way, his car breaks down. He pulls into a garage, and the mechanic's examining his car and finds hundreds of pounds of explosives packed in his trunk. You can see what, if he hadn't had this breakdown, you could see what happened. He would have pulled up at the police station, someone would have triggered the explosions, and he's another suicide bomber. False flag operations are rife through this whole thing, and it is time that we pull the blinders off. It's time you talk to your friends and neighbors, write your congressman, pressure the media to be the watchdogs that they claim to be. In the words of Peter Finch in that old movie, just tell them, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.